praise and thank you again for your love and mercy, giving us not only strength and health, Lord, but a desire and a purpose to be here and assembling ourselves. And we love to come together, Lord, because we know you're in our midst, and we know we have the Word, which is the vehicle of life. And having this Word of life, Lord, we know that because you live, we shall live also, and that is the truth. We're grateful for that, Father, that the seals are open. The tree of life has come into plain view, and we can come and partake, Lord. Help us to understand your word tonight in such a way that the increase of it, O God, in this simplicity, will give us a faith we have never had before. Yea, Lord, a rapturing faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 27 of Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, page 83. And I would like to finish tonight, but I kind of doubt that that is possible. So, we just sort of recap, and that is, God was in Christ, making Christ the manifestation of God, the very expression of God's substance. God was always in Christ. Christ is the manifestation of God. He is the very expression of God's substance. That's according to the Bible. That expression, meaning Christ, physically could not show God in his true character. It was what Christ did and how Christ did what he did in every situation and under any condition that revealed God. Whether the anointing that came forth out of God was a light, or a pillar of fire, or an angel, or the configuration of a man, or the virgin-born body of a man, it was always consistently revealing God as the unchanging one of Hebrews 13 and 8. And that's right today. Christ brought the true revelation of God to man. Christ gave unto God total preeminence. Christ is now bringing a virgin bride back to Eden. God's government on earth with God in total headship has started, is at hand. It was in the Garden of Eden, as the tree of life, that God enjoyed his headship, which was he himself present with Adam and Eve, enjoying their fellowship and imparting his knowledge to them and giving them his loving care. He was the source of their life and light and their preservation. And now today God has come down to restore a bride to Eden and is in process of receiving his headship, which is his right. At this point in this message, the return to Eden, Brother Branham stresses headship of Christ and the establishing of the kingdom under the king who is now amongst us. He said the king is here. This cannot be done outside of the prophet, as the prophet is involved in all three: revelation, preeminence, and restoration. Now never forget that. Also do not forget, as we read tonight, as I've warned you constantly, that when the prophet speaks of the body and vindication, we know that vindication can come by only one person. Vindication, proof, whatever you want to call it, manifestation comes only by one person in that body. But the body receives the credit for it, you might say. Receives that from God by the body receiving the word and identifying with that prophet and with the word that the prophet gave. Now, you can hardly identify with the prophet unless you identify with the word. It's impossible. So we'll start reading on page 83, the last paragraph we actually touched at. Now, the promise in the last days. Now, Jesus said in Matthew, I believe, it's 11 chapter and 6th verse. When John sent his disciples over there to see if he really was the one, Jesus said, who did you go out to see? A reed shaken, the shaken by the winds? You go out to see such and such, he said, or did you go to see a prophet? He said, more than a prophet. John was more than a prophet. He was the messenger of the covenant. Now, remember, John was a messenger, and he foreran the covenanted one. And remember, Christ is the seals, and he's also the covenant. And he said, if you can receive it, this is he which is spoken of by the prophets. I'll send my messenger before my face. Now, that's in Malachi 3, not Malachi 4. Because the Elijah that was to come in Malachi 4, the earth was to be burnt with a fervent heat, and the righteous were to walk out in the millennium upon the ashes of the wicked. So it is not that one you see. Okay, William Branham, as John was messenger to the covenant God himself, so was William Branham. The covenant now is the mystery of the seventh seal and an immortality to escape into the millennium under the promise of Malachi 4. Now, he starts out here in the third verse. Now we see the promise being fulfilled. Now, what is the promise? The promise of Elijah coming in order to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, in order to gain immortality, in order to escape into the millennium, leaving the great conflagration behind. That's the promise being fulfilled. Now notice, Christ, the true headship going in. coming in his bride, doing the same works that he did at the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14 and 12. Now, you'll notice in here, this is actually the appearing in this hour. Christ, the true headship, going in, coming in his bride. Now, if you're talking of something going in, you'll know then it wasn't in previously. Coming in his bride lets you understand where it is going to be. As Brother Branham keeps on saying, the bride comes to the place where these works are manifest and evident. But remember, only a prophet does it. You've got to take the words that he lays down in principle. And he said all hell is against the people believing that one person is responsible for all of this. And you have to keep recognizing that. Christ, the true headship, going in, coming in his bride, doing the same works he did at the beginning, and making ready the fulfilling, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did at first in John 14 and 12. Now, of course, what he's talking about here is this one here is doing in the form of the Holy Spirit what he did in his physical body when he was back there in the flesh in Israel. He's making a complete identification. And he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And that is pinpointed to one person, not they, but to an individual. Now, here's what he says. When that takes place, then the head and the body are becoming one in works and in sign and in life. Now, you know the works and the sign that bring about that unity, they are performed in and through one person only, not in many. It won't work. It's got to be that one. Then it says, and in life, vindicated by God himself through his promised word for the last day. So, all right, the signs of a prophet and the parallel ministry of that prophet, vindicating this to be the Elijah of this hour, the works and the signs positively show that that life that is behind it is the life of Almighty God himself as he promised for this last day. Now, I like the word life because Brother Branham, in speaking of it, is actually quoting from the Apostle Paul in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 4th verse, I guess it is, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. In other words, shall be manifested in his true character, so it is indisputably Christ. So, because the words of a man will not do what these words will do, it takes God. When it is proven that God is here on the scene doing this, at that time, it will be positively manifested. You also, as he appeared in his true character, will show your true character. And that is, do you believe it or not? And that's your life, is what we're talking about. In other words, Brother Branham categorically said, if you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, that little bit of life that is in you, the Holy Spirit in you has to say amen to every single word that the life that wrote this book said and proves to be that word of that hour. How in the world can a man say he's got the Holy Ghost and then turn that down? So when the life appears, thoroughly manifested that this is it. And even if you didn't know that was in the Bible concerning Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, you inherently would know it. There's no way you could escape it. You'd be held there until an explanation was forthcoming, if such an explanation was necessary to be forthcoming. And it was. So you wouldn't take something and run with it. Like so many people did. They couldn't sit still long enough to know the answers. They had to start their own little organizational things and get their own little cliques and crowds around him. I remember years ago when you won't remember this, but way back, right after Brother Branham deceased, I started meetings down south. And they were meetings that people came from hundreds of miles to attend. And soon a certain preacher saw the blessing of God. Oh, we got to do this. Instead of help running interference for me, they grabbed the ball and ran. I just backed right off. Now, where's the leadership today? I'm glad I backed off. Nobody can accuse me of leadership running around spinning churches, destroying people's lives. Try and do it. I'll face you down on it. Or trying to take your money, anything else. You can't do it. And there's no way you will do it. I can be criticized. That doesn't matter. As long as it's a lie, it's fine. Now, let's take a look at what's going to happen. Now, we've preached this many, many times, but you can't hear this too often because You've got to get to, this has got to be a part of you so that at no time the devil can take it from you. And remember, the devil can take certain things from you under the duress of hardship. He hits you hard enough, you'll be wondering whether you ought to stick with it or not. See? Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now that's over the period of time from Luther, when restoration began, reformation began, to the point of restoration. You're promised there's going to come a time when it's face to face and you come into the glory that you are to inherit, which is immortality, given the promise, the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings, and escape the tribulation. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall also appear with him in that glory. And here's the glory here. And therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, somebody's got that ministry to do that. Now, I know people say, I don't believe it. Christ is it. How does he do it apart from the word of his hour? Nobody wants to understand that except people that are simple like you and me who determined to understand it. Said the prophet said it, that's right. Amen. It's against everything we've been taught. But we're believing it because this is vindicated. So if there's a word for the hour, there's a word for the hour. Now when you settle down and you're thinking, you know that's true. When did the virgin bear the child? 600 years after it was said. So now there's a promise for this hour. Now watch, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. It tells you right there that this message handled the way the prophet handled it, based upon an understanding of vindication. The words in his mouth are no different from the words in my mouth or any minister's mouth or your mouth. And it's guaranteed to bring about immortality. It's like an old friend of mine years ago. I said, how come you get so many healings in your church? So many folk get baptized Holy Ghost. He said, son, you get what you preach for. The old boy knew it. You get what you preach for. I'm bound to get what I preach for. I'm preaching for one thing. For this word to be in our hearts and minds and the life in it be released. Now you tell me what else I can preach for. Now, if the word's handled deceitfully, the congregation isn't going to get a thing unless you're a few elect, and then you find yourself a new preacher. You have to sit under somebody who's going to lead you down. Well, you get that hogwash preacher coming on and say, well, your brother Brown did say, you better find yourself a church and a place to pay your tithes. Oh, the preachers love to grab that. Well, if that's all you want here, come and pay your tithes. I don't need your money. Not that it's not a nice commodity. Who needs it? I've had a whole lot less and been happier. I don't know. Maybe not quite that bad. Yeah, I'm very happy now, but, you know, let's face it. I didn't have so many worries and problems way back. I far less, but I was on the road, and my wife and I got by. There's much more care now, in a way. But I don't mind in that particular sense. But you see, there's a guarantee here. Now, that's what the prophet is telling us here. Now, he said he promised this in the last days. He promised what in the last days? There'd be a thorough vindication toward headship, which proves that Christ is in our midst, himself bringing his own message, his own shout, the prophet being the voice standing there, the works and signs proving the life, Christ is here, returned to headship. Now he said, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. What is that? Discernment. Discernment before you can take communion, recognizing God, his ways, and his prophet. You're not qualified to take the emblems of his death and resurrection. Or at least, it's not even a resurrection, it's the emblems of death. Unless you thoroughly understand the signs of his resurrection in this hour, which come by a prophet. And all you need to do with me is to identify. You don't prove anything that's been proven. In fact, you'd be a fool to tempt God. You believe God. And if it's in your heart, you will believe God. It's that simple. Now notice, let's keep going now. This is the appearing preeminence. Vindication of the great shout. All right. And we discern it. Now, he says here, then the life vindicated by God himself. In other words, proves what life it is. And that's the resurrection ongoing, not the baptism. You prove to yourself you've got the real life by recognizing the great life. You prove to yourself you are a son because you recognize your father. You prove you're part of the resurrection because you recognize the resurrection and the life. That's your identification. See. Then we can see that the marriage supper is at hand. Now, if I never see you again, remember, the marriage supper is at hand. And then the kingdom, according to the promise, is ready to be issued in. That's the kingdom. The millennium. The great millennium. The taking up of the church. Destroying the wicked. Now he said, remember, the wedding supper is at hand. I like that at hand. Brother Branham's in the book of Revelation. He's Revelation 10 and 1. So let's find out about Revelation 22. Brother Branham again. He said to me, see thou do it not. Verse 9. I am thy fellow servant, thy prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book worship God. So there's a prophet in time. And he said, Tony, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? Now let's look at it again. Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Revelation 10 and 4, the book was sealed. Revelation 22 and 10, the book is open. Now only God can seal the book and only God can open the book. So that's why Jesus gave the book back to the Father to do the works. Because the body doesn't do the works, it's the Father in the body that does the works. So therefore the Father comes down. Revelation 4 and 1, Revelation 5 and 1 comes down as Revelation 10 and 1. He's got the book open. Now, with the book open, the time is at hand. What time is at hand? I'll tell you the time. The right to the tree of life. That's the time. The right to the tree of life, you can live forever. Because I don't care if the seals are open. I don't care what God does. You've still got to have a right to the tree of life. See? And even though you got a right, on the grounds that you're truly born again, you can't get to it except for the seals. Now the seals are open. So now you've got a right to the tree of life. And the word right means authority. You've been franchised. Nobody else has got it. Certain people only. See? To the tree of life. Now remember, Laodicea is people's rights. And the people are saying, hey, we're rich in Christian goods, we don't lack a thing. Oh, hallelujah, one day we're all going to get changed. Millions now living will never die. And we're going to walk in. That's a life in the pit of hell. They don't have the right to the tree of life. Because they've refused the unsealing of the book. Now let's get this serious. If it makes you sit up at night and worry, good. Thank God you're worrying. At least you're not running around doing 100 million things and sleeping in church. Or just thinking of something else. I don't know if you're sleeping half the time, your mind be a million miles away. Let's get this down to nitty gritty. The judge has already been here. Headship is in the church. The kingdom of God on earth with headship is being established. Now, is this just some little dream? Some little hocus pocus? Well, we can come back 30 years from now, maybe something else will be here. This is life and death. You can say what you want because it is. Because it says when the seals are open, he's unjust is unjust still, filthy is filthy still, righteous is righteous still, and holy is holy still. And the rewards are about to be passed out. According to your work. Your what? Your work of what? Faith. And I'll tell you, faith is the toughest work there is. Because it makes you stand right there in the face of a paradox. In front, behind, above, and below. You're in a box of paradoxes. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm proving at the end what I was in the beginning, headship in Eden. Everybody wants to go to Eden. Most are going to hell. Ain't going to Eden at all. How are you going to get there without a headship? Oh, well, I think I'll get there and then I'll have headship. Oh, no, you won't. Oh, no, you won't. Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Putting the church in order. And the word descend means descend. It means to come on down. People believe this message. They say, can't even understand that. And they say, well, I believe that. But so what? Then you don't believe it. Say you believe a prophet. Then call him a liar. I should be such a good liar as a prophet. I'm wrong with people. I wonder if the prophet said, if you're spiritual, you'll catch it. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll understand these things. It's at hand. The rich increased in goods aren't going to get it. They stated their rights. They don't have any rights. But since the opening of the seals, and we believe we do have right, it's been, the tree of life is franchised unto us. Nobody's going to have it but those that believe. You can say what you want, but that's what I stand here and declaring to you by the word of the living God. They've been manifested. Otherwise, this whole thing is a hoax and perpetrated upon us to no end but to confusion. Because if this does not come out of it, who needs the prophet? Because if Elijah's got to come, we ain't going to escape. And some of us got to be standing right here and make our escape by living and walking through the tree of life and taking. Now, it's all laid out here, like Brother Branham said it. I show you in the Bible. You say, amen. There's two witnesses. That's the word of the living God. That's it is spoken. That's it's got to be. Because it is. Not because I say so. I'm just putting my amen to it. I'm trusting you're doing the same. In fact, I know you are. And the world under the sixth seal to be purified by volcanic eruption to take all the corruption sin out of the world and to mold her out again and bring forth a new bright millennium for the age that is to come. Exactly true. When we see all these great threefold revelations, God in Christ, Christ in the church, the kingdom coming, Adam and Eve redeemed back to the Garden of Eden, and the representation of Christ and his bride, and then the kingdom is going to be restored according to promise. In other words, Adam and Eve represented Christ and his bride. Sure. And now, Christ and his bride are presently antityping Adam and Eve, getting ready for their home sweet home in the Garden of Eden. Praise be to God. Now, by the revelation of the threefold mystery, the secret, and all this by the personally vindicated word. Yeah, the indicated word. Now, he's got by his original headship, which really is taking back his original headship. So he says right here, he's repeating himself over and over again. He said, you saw it is demonstrated by the word of God coming to life. This is it. And he's got control of my life in order to bring the word of God to pass. Therefore, headship is returned to the bride. And remember, God's got to have a prophet. It's hard to just accept that in its simplicity and keep it in our minds all the time. It's got to come by a prophet. The Lord Jesus, Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not God, not man, but God. But it comes by a prophet, Brother Manning said. The token's the Holy Ghost himself, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's what you're looking at. Now, by the vindicated word, proving it. Now, by personally vindicated word, by his original headship, or in other words, going back to taking back original headship, which was before creation, the headship, which was in Eden, which was in the human flesh, which was in Paul, which is now. Headship. Now the prophet's gone, return to pillar fire. Pillar fire leads us to the millennium. To the end. Well, glory to God, we shout hallelujah, we sing that, isn't it? I'm a missionary. I've been 7 times practically over the world. See, I've seen heathen, devils, everything else, dance and jump. I've seen all kinds of fleshly manifestations. That's carnal. But I'm talking about the headship of Christ. All right? People rely upon emotion, stimulation, inward exercises, mental exercises of the soul, hallelujah, everything else. They take that for headship and say, look, I know everything is right because look what God is doing in me, how great I feel, how wonderful, how marvelous, hallelujah. And Brother Van says, look, I've been a missionary around the world about 7 times. I'm a preacher. I'm a prophet. I know what I'm talking about. And he said, that isn't it. That's not it. So therefore, I don't care what you and I say we've got, and we don't claim very much. What is it? Now he said, that's carnal, but I'm talking about the headship of Christ. Now what is that headship? What I'm talking about right here. Christ the headship going in, coming in his bride, doing the same works he did at the beginning, and making ready and fulfilling his word as he did in John 14 and 12. Then the body and are becoming the body and head, the head and body are becoming works and in signs and in life, vindicated by God himself through his promised word in these last days. Now that's headship. What is headship? God taking one man, the prophet, manifesting his word, declaring it and proving it, the word of this hour. That which we saw was the demonstration of the life itself, which is God. We have a modicum of that life. When we receive that, headship has come to us. And now you're looking for something else. You say, well, Brother Bear, when I get to the place where every thought is of God, and every move is of God, and everything is of God, that's headship. Well, have it your way. Have it your way. I'm not going to argue you. I just done told you what it was. I'm not saying it's not a good thing to want God in every thought and every breath and everything until we make every wrong right and walk in the light. That's great. But the same prophet said, we backslide 1,000 times a day and there's no perfection this side of the resurrection. As long as you're mortal, you're going to have some tossing. You're going to have some doubts. But don't doubt this. Live or die, sink or swim. So therefore, the church has returned to headship. So, my brother Ben, I think it should come out of the way. There you are again. I'd rather go to the boss and say, now, boss, I want you to make a certain form of checkup that suits my accounting. He'd say, drop dead, bud, you're fired. If you think you're going to try to fool with a multi-billion dollar corporation with your stupid ideas, out! I need you like a sore thumb. Well, if God's not bigger than a multi-billion dollar corporation, you tell me how little he is. Amen. And who's to tell God anything? Amen. You know, that's one thing in Scripture God hates. Anybody try to tell him something? And you know why he hates it? For the person's own good. Now, really, isn't it much nicer just to settle down and believe it than to try to fool around and figure things out? You know, it's nice to be just like a bunch of idiots and let the nurses come by and spoon feed us. Right? Because you haven't got a thing to do with it. You're neither the cook nor the servant, brother, sister. The whole thing's of God. I laid on pretty heavy, but I got it to get the thing across. Okay. Now, here, listen. Headship is returned. Now, notice, being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Now, notice what he says here. Being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's questions. Now, what in the world could that be? The devil that makes you question reality or what is going on or is to be going on for this hour. You got an answer for it. What is the answer? It's been manifested. It's been proven. Let's take a look at ahead of ourselves in page 85, verse, little paragraph 1. Now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are. Now we're redeemed. We have Satan's answer. You don't have Satan's answer as though you got something from Satan giving you an answer. You've got the answer to Satan, who is the father of doubts and fears, sin, criminality, death. How are you going to answer that old bird back? He's going to get burnt. Let's not get burnt with him. God has vindicated himself. God has proved himself to his promise in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. What is the devil's answer to what he's doing to make a great kingdom? Christ is here. your organizations and your bishops and your cardinals, a whole bunch, are going to burn. Pentecostal chaff. Certainly. We got the answer to the devil. Amen. We have the answer to the devil's question. That's what he's really saying. How are you going to answer the devil's question? He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price and raising up the head, the body. The devil can't stand it. What can't the devil stand? The answer God gave him. The presence of the Lord. Headship in the church. And he knows when God starts to take headship of the church, his days are over. Because God's going to set up a brand new kingdom and the devil ain't in it. He's been living a long time. Maybe millions of years for all I know, or trillions. I care less. And he'd just like to keep on living. He's not gonna. God's gonna annihilate him after a certain due period of process time. Headship is here. That's the devil's answer. We're following God, not man-made creeds and dogmas. Since the shout, we know who we are, what we are, where we came from, and where we're going. Now listen, the devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. So what's the devil doing? He's got to imitate everything that God does. He's got to counterfeit it. So the churches are setting up their own kingdom. Who's at the head of it? Satan is. Then what spirit do they have? Satan's spirit. And who are they worshiping? Satan. Oh, they claim they're worshiping God. What good does that matter? What makes anybody think they're worshiping God if they can't even recognize the God they're supposed to have in their hearts? See? That's the reason these ecumenical kings are setting up. Because our kingdom is here. Now the reason they're all coming into what they're doing now, the devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. His wickedness, his scheme, has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship over his body. So what is God doing? Raising up his body for his kingdom. That means Satan's kingdom's on the way out. That means Satan's going to do everything he can against God. And remember, as I taught you so thoroughly the other day, maybe I've mentioned it twice, that the devil took whatever God has in his kingdom in order to fashion his own kingdom up in heaven. Then on earth, he started in Eden to work in God's kingdom to get his own kingdom. Now he's in the church, which is God's church. He defiles it to get his own kingdom. The kingdoms are separate, praise God. That's 1 Corinthians. Now, the scheme here is in 2 Thessalonians, which we know that chapter. And what God's doing is in 1 Corinthians 15 at his appearing. He brings everything under the feet of Jesus. He has to. For Jesus paid the price as that anointed man. Now, under the feet of a man, God must place everything but himself. And when the time comes when he would place himself under that great servant, Jesus, that man that's risen from the dead, he doesn't. He just simply incarnates him. Moves right into him. Then, on Mount Zion, he moves out in a pillar of fire above him. And they're perfectly one. Sure, they're one. We're all one because of a life. It's one life. Not a dozen lives, it's one life. And it's no longer fragmented. I can't understand that, but I believe it's true. You think I'm beside myself, said Brother Branham. I'm not. We've got the answer to the devil. Now listen to what he says. Not me, but there was the Christ, the Word living in me. Well, I think that's a little slip of the tongue. He's really talking about Jesus back there. Oh no, he's not. He's talking about nine. What's he telling you? Christ in him. Because he goes on to say, it's not my idea, it's his power. Not my idea, his word. William Branham, God to the people. A prophet housing Christ. The Logos. Becoming God to the people. So it's not his works. It's not his ideas. And he's giving you, as the authority of Almighty God, God speaking in the man, using his voice, here is the answer to the devil. It's been manifested. This is God. Amen. We see, that's simple. It is, if you can just let it trickle down into our fat, thick skulls that are so complex with stupidity. Chicken life in a chicken. Horse life in a horse. Dog life in a horse. But could God life be in a property? Oh, heaven forbid. Why, you got to go stupid all of a sudden. Give way to ignorance. And the very thing the devil wants us to do. Why not just begin to understand? Understand the truth. I'm going to read it here. I'm not beside myself. We've got the answer there, or the devil's answer, or the answer for the devil. Not me, but there was the Christ, the Word living in me. It's not my idea. It's His power. Not my idea. It's His Word. He promised it. Here it is. He said it'd be here. And here it is. We've got His answer. Elijah shall surely come and restore. Oh, people don't like these definitions. Elijah this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The token is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They don't want identification. What could we present for identification? Please don't ask me to present anything. I'm getting worse and worse as the days go by. Feistier and feistier. Yeah, it's true. Edgier and edgier. You wonder why I talk about somebody superseding me here. Well, if you feel like I do part of the time, you'll wonder why somebody hasn't superseded me here. I'm just laying it flat in the line here. If he doesn't do it, it ain't going to be done. I'm not going to even try. Oh, I want to try to better myself and be a better servant of God, more reliable, more this and that. Sure, that's what I should do before the Lord. But this, forget it. I've got His answer. He's here. His sheep know His voice. They follow Him. He does what He will. He's going to take them back to Eden. And if I'm not a part of that, so I'll never make it, period. If I am a part, you better believe I'm going to make it. See? We've got His answer. Christ is risen. Now watch. And has paid the price for our redemption. Now that doesn't just go back after Calvary. Watch. What God manifested in Christ. No, what God in Christ manifested. Because God is in Christ manifesting. What God in Christ manifested. He gave that flesh and blood. In other words, He put it to flesh and blood what He's going to do. Made in flesh and blood. That in the blood might come the life. And the flesh be redeemed. That was God in this redeemed flesh could manifest. No. That was God and this redeemed flesh could manifest. They've made a wrong punctuation. They put appearance, not that. His word for the day, as He did in that day. Now that's like garbled reading. But let's just take a look at it so it won't be garbled to us. See, first of all, you got to realize here, God became man to shed His blood so that life could redeem us. And redeem our bodies at a future date, which is now, to get us out of the ground. Okay, what God in Christ manifested and wants to manifest, He gave that at that time back there, flesh and blood. And that one died in order that the life in the blood may come back, which was going to be the redemption of our flesh. Which means when we're born again, we've got the absolute seal that we're going to be redeemed. And God did that back there in flesh to prove that He could redeem flesh. It was manifested back there. And today, He's manifesting the very things that He did back there to prove who He was in order to show that we've got the redemption. Everything is death. Gave us, we've got. Is it ready to turn over? Okay. So there what you're looking at. This is Ephesians 1, 13 to 17. From the baptism with the Holy Ghost, called off to the Holy Ghost Himself, now going to get us out of the grave and change our bodies. Notice it. As we stand justified in the presence of God. That's 1 John 2 and 28. Not ashamed. Adam and Eve were. Let's take a look at it. 1 John 2 and 28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His presence. That was in the Garden of Eden. They were ashamed. We're clothed. Inwardly, outwardly. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our robes have been made white by the washing of water as a separation. We're not ashamed. No, because we're not naked. We're not found in adultery and fornications. Of idolatry, of false prophets and organizations. We're not ashamed in His presence. Praise God. We stand, why? Because we stand justified as though we'd never done it in His presence. As a drop of ink dropping in a tub of bleach. Can't find a trace. You'll never find the stain of ink anymore. It went somewhere. It'll never come back. But when man is truly redeemed, that predestinated seed that sees it and accepts it. that tells you you're truly redeemed. His sins are demolished. It's gone, separate. It's dropped in the ink of the blood of Christ. And it should be the breach of the blood of Christ, unless you're putting red on red, then it becomes white. Because the blood is red, the sin is red, drop it in, there's white. Okay? I don't care how you put it. God forgets it. Never remembered. And that person stands as a son and a daughter of God in the presence of God. Amen and amen. Adam and Eve back, restored, ready to come into the millennium. Now are we the sons of God? No, we will be. We are the sons of God. Now we're redeemed. Notice, redeemed. Not redeemed by your past experience through Christ filling you with the Holy Ghost, proving your seed, but we're talking now of redemption of the body, the coming out of the graves. We have Satan's answer, the answer to Satan. God has vindicated himself. God has proven himself to his promise in this day. Hallelujah. The headship is here. What headship? Pillar of fire. Prophet. Word. There's your headship. Amen. Christ the risen Lord. It's here in the same power of his resurrection. Ephesians 1:17. That he ever was. Manifesting himself. There's the devil answers. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ proving it is he. We knowing it is the devil's answer. No matter what happens now, you can't be tripped. You can't be fooled. Because you know where you stand. You stand identified with the prophet. Sure, he is here as Hebrews 13 and 8. That's exactly what he is. Demonstrating Genesis 18. Proving the seals that were sealed in Genesis. The third chapter been torn off. The fourth chapter will never be repeated. You're going back to the repeat of number one. Adam and Eve, under the Spirit of God, living in the Garden of Eden. That's the reason when this man, now watch it. Here's the devil's answer. The same power of the resurrection. Okay, that's the reason. When this man sitting here dropped dead the other day, that's Brother Wade, came come back to life. Because the Holy Spirit said so. That's why he could do that. Little baby in Mexico that had been dead about 15 hours. When the vision came, called her back to life. Let the baby live. And the baby that the doctor wrote a statement, died at 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock that night, came back to life, and is living today. You realize that Brother Branham would have to call the spirit of that child back from where they did go? I don't believe the spirit was hovering around the baby. The spirit goes first, then the soul goes. The soul lingers. Spirit gone. Goes back to God that gave it. Where'd it go? Out to a dimension. Now, Brother Branham said the body of Jesus would corrupt it within 3 days. That's why he had to raise. But Brother Branham also knew that the human brain swells in 5 minutes. He also explained rigor mortis, how the organs collapse. That's dead. That's already deteriorating. So here, it's like almost a resurrection taking place. The baby gone on. What is it? Not those people. The headship and the body has become one unit. It's God manifested in his people. Not God manifesting in the church out there with tongues interpretation, Mark 16, and a bunch of pseudo people. No, that's not it. It's God manifested in his people. That's the reason the husband and wife is no longer two. They're one. God and his church are one. Christ in you. That's the great revelation. Not Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, that's Christ in the church. He that hears my voice, answer the door, will have fellowship. Come out and meet him. Mountain in his trees appearing. Glory to God. Even bearing his name. His name is Jesus, the anointed. The reason he's called Jesus, he is the anointed. And it's the anointed body of Christ proving manifested God like that body did. What's he talking about? He's talking about the bride anointed with the presence of God himself working through a prophet doing the works which fall back on the body, proving that God has come for the body. He didn't come for the prophet. The prophet's only a part of the body. He came for the body. But he's got to work through his ordained channels. That's why Brother Branham preached having respect for God's prophets and God's ministers. God's anointed ones. And that body redeemed ever of these bodies. So what do you got? You got Ephesians 1 and 17. With the shout. God's using the prophet's body. So that there can be a composite. The entire body can rise. And through there, God works his threefold manifestation. Well, how does God work his manifestation? God in the bride. Through a prophet. You can't, listen, that's what you're looking at. What you think you're looking at, I don't care what you think. That's what you're looking at. That's what you're looking at. That's it. Not something else. Then that in him. Why not? If God wants to do it, fine. You ever come to the place where you meet people so bullheaded and pig-headed, you say, well, I'll do it. Well, I'll do it. And then, isn't it strange how we can soon give in to somebody, pig-headed and bullheaded? Well, do it. Well, do it. We can't say to God, well, do it. Oh, no, Lord, better listen to me, bless God. Let me tell you, Lord, how to do things, because you might offend me. How about if God's bullheaded? Well, you know, he's pictured as a great bull, you know. The Bible says he's a one mind. Not two minds, three minds, four minds. And if God wants to do it this way, we had better find out if it is his way. And soon as you know his way, you're on safe ground. And that's what's wrong with the church today, brother, sister. They don't know God's way. They don't. Even people say they believe his message, don't know God's way. Can't even understand the presence, which is the appearing. If we're not right, you tell me what is right. Too late. I done figured it myself, brother, by the Holy Ghost. I'm not interested in anybody's arguing anymore. Talk if you want, that's fine. And through there, God works his threefold manifestation. Going to the kingdom, risen, paid the price, were redeemed. God proved it, vindicated. Proved it by vindication, see? And we stand justified in him, in Christ before him. Because he cannot pass judgment. He'd have to be judged. For that thing you need. Because before he could say whether you could or not, he'd have to be a judge. For he's already judged that body in which I am a part of it. What? How am I a part of it? Here it is. It's in me. He's making his own proof right now. If he abide in me and my words abide in you, then what you say? Remember in Revelation 13, 3, they said, we're rich in creatures and goods and don't have a lack of thing. Oh, we got it. We got this and we got that. But can they do this? Ask the Father anything in my name, it'll be done. Because it's there. Justified. Glory to God. What's he talking about? Squirrels. He said, I know where I stand. Don't try to tell me nothing. I'll listen to man. I don't talk to men. I got the proof just the same as Paul did 100%. Paul went down there and confounded that whole bunch, even the present day good brethren, Peter, James, and John, confounded the whole bunch of them. Pushed them right back in their hunkers. He made them hunker down. Booted up Barnabas for his folly. Withstood those false brethren. Trained up a group of men, looked people in the eye and said, you're a bunch of false prophets and false apostles. Oh, we can't do that anymore because, oh, that's horrible. Way back here when Hankins was going around these rounds. People had an idea I couldn't call names and have a showdown. He could say love was, well, the evidence was love. Of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of love. He could say that was okay because he had this sweet little way with him. You can take your sweet little way, brother, sister, and do what you want. Don't come around with your hogwash around me. You show me some vindication, kid, then I'll listen. It's too late, I done had my vindication. Brother Branham stands right here, he's listening, he's not been vindicated like the Apostle Paul. I like a man like that. If he's anything less, what time have I got for him? I said it 20 years ago, say it again. There's only one thing Brother Branham could move me with, and that's the word of Almighty God. I don't need healings, I've seen them. I don't need miracles, who needs it? You got a healing, that's good enough. I don't need soul winners, I've seen them. I don't need men with fruit, I've seen men with fantastic fruit. But I sure like know what the word is. That I don't know. Brother Branham stood there with his complete vindication. He lays it out here. He said, I'm vindicated. He said, when you see that, headship's return. Because you're looking at a man that's given God such preeminence, that man's in a tube and God's got his own way. His thoughts, his mind, his actions. Right there before the church, that's it. Normally people died in his presence. Men were suddenly struck blind. And everything else. We don't know the half of what happened, brother, sister. And we don't know one thousandth of what is going to happen and one trillionth of what's going to happen because it is going to happen. You can't fool with God. Touch not mine own, do my servants no harm. See? He's talking about himself. That's why I said I warn you. You keep listening when Brother Brown is talking about himself, not about us. And you say, amen, praise the Lord, you identify. That's not hard to understand. You can't shed your blood. You identify with shed blood. You can't go to God unless He calls you. God ain't willing to do His good pleasure. Oh, if I could get the world to see that. Why, there they are. There's the body of Christ living, standing, redeemed, redeemed. Oh my, justified. And He's like, why are they justified? We are His victory. The church is His victory. We come forth in this last days with this glorious gospel showing His victory. You say, well, I believe He had a victory when he rose from the dead. Oh, come on. That's not His victory. His victory's coming up through the church and the vileness Satan made of it. To bring forth the seed and reestablish His word and His kingdom and bring forth a group that's just like Him in glory. We are His victory right now. It's been a victory all the time. Satan had the upper hand. The world gave him the upper hand. Poor little hunted remnant. That's all they ever had was abuse. God's got a great victory in His church. He died for this purpose. He's talking about today. And we have proof of His victory. What proof are we except the prophets talking about Himself and identifying us in Him? What proof have you and I got? You want lovely, beautiful, love and niceness? I'll take a Hindu anytime over any one of us or all of us put together. You want great soul winning and all? Ha! We'll take Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and put them together. William Branham, how many did he really win? 750,000 gave them to Pentecostals. A trinity. Yeah. Satan worship. Idolatry. Yeah. Little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The only striving you and I've got is to bring ourselves under, to listen to this word, to believe it, to make it our very lives. We are proof of His victory. Amen. When we see Him coming down and living among the church, that's His victory. Well, I think His victory, Brother Dale, is something else. Well, you don't believe what the prophet said. I told you how we had to get our thinking all renewed. You can't think your thoughts on this subject. I can't think my thoughts. I'm not a theologian. You are not a theologian. This is what He said. When we see Him coming down and living among the church, that's His victory. We, blinded in the Odyssey, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, filthy, rotten, God-condemned, and hell-bound, destroys Him. He says, little flock, look up and say, hallelujah. That's got to be Jesus. That's His victory. We're His victories. I think of something else. In spite of what I just said and read, you think of something else? Would you like to come up here and give me a 4x4 so I just slug you right on each temple? Or blow through one ear and see if a candle goes out on the other side of your head? I know this is foreign to your thinking. You've read it like I've read it many times. But we just read it. We just read it. Settle in. Settle in and see what He's saying. Open the spiritual eyes. Get rid of the veils. The creeds and the dogmas. When we see Him coming down and living among the church. That's Luke 17 and 20. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation except to the elect. The Pharisees never saw it, never will see it. They can't. But blessed are eyes because we're seeing those things. The prophets, the great men wanted to see, knew they would see them. But the Laodicea is wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. And God's victory is in Himself and Elijah doing exactly what He said. And He's done it. That's where we stand. And He said, amen. Okay, when we see Him coming down living among the church, that's His victory. Shows. Now, listen, if you got a victory, you got to have a struggle. He's battled to do this. He's battled every one of the veils upon our upon our minds and our hearts. Shows that He couldn't keep them in the grave. Neither can they keep us. We have a spiritual resurrection. And we are already potentially risen because we've raised from death, which is unbelief in His word. From denominations and creeds, which are unbelief in the revelation, right? To the eternal word of the eternal God, which is in Him, Himself working through us. Manifesting that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is Genesis 18. That's not you and me. That's William Branham, Elijah, prophet of God. When we see it, it's a victory that we see it. that God could snatch us as brands from the burning from the devil when we all thought the same stupid thing about 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The proof of the resurrection. He's risen amongst us. And then the word moves on down into the body from the head. Praise the Lord. That's what he said. Where's the word now? It's in the bride. What is it? The same word. The same word. Nothing can be added or taken from it. That's Revelation 22, 18 and 19. What is that? The seals open. Well, let's read it. Let's get an understanding here. All revved up for the glory of God. We're getting out of here, brother, sister. I'll tell you that. Not going home. Go to bed. We're getting out of this world here. I'm sick and tired. I want a good temperature and a good everything. Fool you on this life. He said, seal not the saints' prophecies, book, for the time is at hand. So there you are. And at that time, the unjust are unjust, the filthy, filthy, righteous, righteous, holy, holy, and so on. And the right to the tree of life is there. Everything else qualifies for the lake of fire. The idolaters, whoremongers, the whole bit. Jesus himself is testifying through his messenger that he sends in this hour, that he is the root and offspring of David. He is the bright and morning star. So therefore, there's a message to Israel also. After the seals. Right, because he's got to turn to them. Now the Spirit and the bride say, come, that's Gentiles. In the hearers say, come. He the thirst come. And let him whosoever will take the water of life freely. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy's book. If any man add, and so on. So it tells you right there, seal not the prophecies. The seven seals that are open, the thunders. Don't you dare touch them. Don't add. Don't subtract. Exactly what the prophet said, and you'll make it. Everybody else turns them down or adds to them. They miss it. Do what you want. I'm doing what I want. Hope to God before all of us do what Jesus wants. Okay. The words move down into the body. Nothing taken added to it. So that same word, which is life, of course, moves from the head as the day comes close, down into the body, down into the body, vindicating that they are one. The word that came down from headship and up through seven solid church ages, now has vindicated itself that the bride and Christ are one through the prophetic office of Elijah. You can't separate it, brother, sister. Revelation, preeminence, restoration cannot be separated from a prophet. All this hogwash. A vain enthusiasm and glory toward Christ. Hallelujah. I don't need that man because, Lord, I love you. He said, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Amen. If you love me, you believe my word. A woman loves her husband, she'll obey him if he's worth obeying. You show me where Christ isn't worth obeying. Sure. Their husband and wife, there you are. Their flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. That's what we are. Right. Flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit. Is that not enough? Well, Brother Dale, if I was just power of his power to raise the dead, bless God, then you don't know vindication, honey, because you saw it and went right by it. You're like my good friend down there in Corpus Christi. I won't mention his name. He's a lovely brother. He said, Brother Dale, and he told every man the same thing. I have never seen a miracle. Yet his own wife was healed of TB right in front of his eyes as she listened to Oral Roberts on the TV. Healed of TB watching the TV. He never saw a miracle. And he never will. How blind can you get? How blind can you be? Your answer is there, brother, sister. And that's God's answer to the devil. Satan, you got all the blinded ones, and you're welcome to them. Because I manifested myself when they chose not to believe. But the bride, flesh of his flesh, word of his word, life of his life, spirit of his spirit, say amen. How do you know it? Bears the same record, the same fruit, the same word, manifest Christ, same life, same God, same spirit, same word, same book, same amen, same signs. Things that I do, she'll do also. Hallelujah. There's a prophet again. But a peculiar vindication. Deuteronomy 18, Numbers 12. Face to face, even apparently seen. And come back with, thus saith the Lord. Have what no other man has. And watch them rise like Janus and Jambres. Watch them rise like the Balaams. Watch the false teachers come on the scene. Watch them aggrandize themselves. How many learn to get out of the way and let God have his prophet have his way? Brother Branham wept over that. Why can't you run hindrance for me instead of run hindrance against me? Why do you want to grab the ball and run? Look all around you, brother, sister. Look around you. Wake up for God's sake, and you'll see him out there trying to carry a ball having grabbed from somebody else. It's a pretty tragic thing. In 1964, Brother Branham could say to me, categorically, 65, Brother Bale, you're the only man who ever put me forward. Categorically make this statement, 1965. He said, Brother Bale, I think you're lying. Make me a liar. I'll meet you at judgment day. I will meet you at judgment day at the bar. I'll look everybody in the face and tell you, I will look in your eyes at judgment day. I haven't lied to you. I'm not in the habit of lying about these things. You see, I make myself nobody. I want to ask people to listen. Do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. I'm going to do what I want. You think not? Oh, brother, sister. There's a contest between God and Satan. And we are the battleground. He's already won a victory. And will soon be manifest at Mount Zion who is part of that victory. By grace, we all hope we're one. Don't lay anybody aside, but just look around you. Just look around. Notice the vindicated word in his body is his victory and the reason of his death. That's back there. The vindicated word in his body is his victory. In other words, he proved absolutely, without a doubt, that he was that one, and that's why they killed him. See the death, not in spirit. When he died only in the flesh. His spirit went to hell and preached his souls in prison. Is that right? His flesh only died. Then he raised it up again and quickened it. Quickened he's made alive. His flesh, which was his body, and that's the word. So how is it the word? Well, it's in the word took on flesh. God became manifested. That's the manifested part. You and I are the same thing. We were his thoughts. His attributes were the same thing. It's been laid dead for years. But it gradually began to come to the in Reformation. And now she's standing upon her feet. Started back under Luther. But now it's Matthew 12. Coming to the Gentiles. Vindicating them. See? The word is back in the bride. His life in us assures us. His word is living and moving us back to Eden. Oh, how I wish I had time to go into Ezekiel. Pull out those dry bones and show you. He said, can these bones live again? He said, prophesy. How can prophecy come? Only through the prophet. It is the word of the Lord. Hear, ye dry bones, the word of the Lord. And sinew skin came upon them. They stood up in a mighty army. They began to march towards Zion. Glory to God. That's him. That's him. The victory. The ransom of the Lord shall come to Zion with joy in all his holy mountains. Nothing shall hurt his joy. He proves his resurrected life. Then he vindicates himself. Okay, he proves his resurrected life. Manifestation, signs and wonders. All of those things. After that, it takes a vindication to do it. Absolutely. She, the bride, is... he vindicates himself. Okay, we're on page 87 now. She, the bride, is independent from all others. Now, he's talking about her now. She's an independent woman. A great speck of bird that's different from all others. You remember the Bible on that. The great speck of bird. But she had his name. She had his life. How did they speckle the bird? They were both white. Then they pulled the head off one bird and drained the blood upon the other bird. And the other bird is speckled with red blood. It flopped its wings like this and the blood cried, holy, 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 as it bathed the ground. So Christ, the dead mate, put his blood from his life, into us, spread, carrying his blood crying, holy, holy unto the Lord. It's an odd looking bird, sure it is. But she, the bride, is identified by him and she's independent from all others. Keep the only unto her as long as you both shall live. Or keep the only unto him as long as you both shall live. Same thing, see? Keep the only to him. The word. No adultery. Not one sign of denomination. Not one sign of creed. No adultery at all. The word in him alone. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other grounds are sinking sands that need to prove. Now that's the truth. To take this word is to defy everything we ever learned. Unless it checks out with the Bible. In other words, justification's fine. But it went to seed. Sanctification was fine. It went to seed. The baptism's fine. Restoration gifts. It went to seed. Then when I went to seed, you don't plant that again or you get the same rotten corruption. So you go back to original life. A fresh insemination. You follow, you're listening. Get your thinking caps on. This is one of the best of the whole series right tonight if you only know what you're listening to. You're getting the meat and the whole gist of the thing. So there's a fresh insemination. God himself has come down with the open seals. They're open. There's enough in here to put us in the rapture. Looking at all, everything else is sinking sand. There's nothing else to look on. And if we believe this, all it needs is a little refinement. We've got the precept upon precept, the line upon line. Now it's, and the here a little, there a little. It's come down to just that little word now. So we'll not be guilty of adding or taking even a word. And when the word of God is thoroughly in its place, it means the bride is thoroughly in her place. Word, place, members. That's what he came to do. Put everything under the feet of Jesus. That's why he doesn't come down, we meet him in the air. He incarnates himself. We crown him King of Kings. That's in Christ the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word. The church becomes the Word by him making her a part of him. And that's the Word again. Personally identified by him, his property alone. His property alone. She is redeemed by him, through him, and for him alone. That's right. Well, that's just telling about the bride. Then what the devil is howling about, that's the gates of hell and all hell, that is being revealed. We're in a dangerous time. Now watch. Remember, the scripture says when these things begin to happen, time is no more. She's fading away. You haven't got time to just look around here, look around there, and see, I'll follow this, I'll follow that, and I'll see if it works out. We've got too many fence sitters. Get off the fence. Brother Brand said you turned a corner. Didn't say you sat in the fence. You know how Brother Branham got his way down when he was lost in New England in that big storm? He found the guide wire that guided him right down to his tent. Now we got the same thing. The prophet gave the example. Lost in the blizzard of the 20th century, ready to die, we grabbed that line and took our way down to turning the corner, as it were, and coming into Canaan land. We crossed over Jordan, brother, sister, whether you believe it or not. We've crossed over. We've left all this sinking sand stuff. Time is no more. She's fading away. And when you see the manifestation, earthquake, see them thousands killed the other day, earthquakes in divers places, fearful sights in the sky, pillar of fire like floating like flying saucers. They don't know what it is, see? They don't have any idea. In other words, Brother Branham said, it's already started, just waiting for the 3.5 years to bang in. You're into it. Did you notice the angels that came down to investigate Sodom and before Sodom was destroyed? You remember that? There was a bunch of them come down. Three of them. One of them stayed with Abraham. You remember that? They were lights from heaven. They came down in investigating judgment. Ones. Look where they're all found. Around the Pentagon and things they find them. That's the world judgment. Sodom. And there's one represented. Will be represented amongst the churches. Will be Christ himself. Vindicating himself. In other words, there's lots of lights going on. There's lots of sights. There's lots of things that's in the Bible that you're seeing fulfilled. But they're all missing the word that says Christ himself will be fulfilled in his appearing. Sights on the heaven above and signs here below certainly identified. Oh, the devil's howling about this. The manifested truth of the promise of the word in her alone. It's no place else. You think they're in the other thing? Look it. Always the ones that had the light were hated. Look, you could join their ranks and commit murder. And they'd absolve you. Hallelujah, the Lord forgives. Bless your heart, dear, because you believe like us. Bunch of filth. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're absolved, as long as you believe their way. Oh, God have mercy. They don't have the answer. When Jesus came, why didn't those Pharisees? Believe him, see? He said, if I cast the devils by the finger of God, who do you cast them up by? And it's strange. They made Brother Branham a devil. He could cast up more devils than all them put together. Amen. They made him a devil. He was more sick than they ever did all put together. Had more props. He had more everything. But of course, he had a devil. And what did they have? Well, they had to have little devils. Amen. They sure didn't have much of the big devil. Let me see where their argument goes. How fallacious, how stupid, how ridiculous, how asinine. How corrupt is the heart of man? Deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. And try to listen to your heart. Cardiophono, Newton, the voice of the heart. You better forget your heart, kid. Sorry. Eat a lot of cucumbers, just as what the voice you get around your heart, indigestion. Listen to the word of God vindicated. She's not hooked with nothing. stands alone. But he was identified by God, Jesus was, being the body that God dwelt in. And the church is identified by his body doing the same thing. She is his body. The manifested truth of his promised word for the last day. Certainly, it had better be in the body, even though it comes by the prophet. Or this body's not going to rise. We're talking now of the corporate body. She and she alone stands by it. That's why the devil is howling these great organizations to set up something to close her up. She'll never do it. She'll be taken up, not closed up. Now, in this same sermon, he said they'll turn her place into warehouses and granaries and things, or libraries and stuff. So he's letting you know, look, when the time really comes, you don't need to worry. You'll be out of here. She is now risen, and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. Listen, she is now risen, and by the power of the vindicated word promised to her. She's in a resurrection by this word, because the word is life. As light overcomes darkness, life overcomes death. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So therefore, light is life, and life is light. So if you got the light, you're going to have the light. And if you got the light, there's bound to be life. Right? It's that simple. That's not Philadelphia talk, lawyer talk. That's just God's truth. If you got the word, and you take it heart, you know that positively there's a life in you answering to that light. Because it's both. He told me, he would return after me. Quoting the bride now. I believe it. Quoting himself. See, yes, sir, to meet her headship, her redeemer, her husband, her king, her lord, her lover, her savior, in the provided meeting place. He's got a place to meet them. You know the bridegroom didn't leave anything out. He's got the ring, the identification, he's got the robe that she wears, her clothing, see? He's got to provide a place to meet her, that's in the air. Everything's been provided. He's got the wedding supper already set. Guests already invited, already chosen. All the angels standing there in attention at the service. Oh, my. Okay, don't you love that? He quoted this little song here about the meaning in the air, so on. Don't you love that? Now, the threefold purpose of God's revelation, mystery revelation, has been revealed. He is the main one. That's the one. And he said, let's sing it. So they sang something. Have you heard a little Moses and Bulrush? You heard a fearless David and his, and so on. He reads it all here. Now, we're going to meet one another over there. Let's all the Methodist, Baptist, whatever you are, that's born to the Spirit of God, shake one another's hands and sing it. Oh, that's wonderful. See, what will he do? Now listen. Watch close. Now look, folks, friends, it's nearly 2:00. Wait. Till you get to supper. I've got just a page after page to show you here. You know, I'm just gonna close. There's no end to this revelation. It's God's eternal word. But look, the threefold manifestation, the threefold purpose of God's great mystery is revealed. God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church in order to redeem the lost deed back to the original condition again. In other words, there can be no restoration unless God is manifested in his church, a return to headship. It's right. We believe it. Don't you believe it? I think of that song every time we think about it. He vindicated himself in Daniel, Moses, and Jeremiah. What were they? Prophets. You've heard the story of dreaming Joseph, Daniel, lions, and all those one see. But the main one, God was just temporarily typing them. He typed himself in Adam, knowing what was right, but walked out to redeem his wife because she was wrong. Christ didn't have to be sin, but he walked out and took sin to redeem his lost child. He typed himself. See, that's where Adam is the type. Hebrews 11 said they could not be perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains, the knowledge, the head and so forth. See, and we're all perfected in him. So by one spirit we're baptized into one body, free from judgment, passed from sin, which is death, unto life. Amen. God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Do you love him? Now he says, that great angel of the covenant, that one, now watch this, that great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who came to Paul on the road to Damascus, that same one permitted his picture to be taken with us. The same one that was in the picture in Life magazine the other day. The same word by the same God through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in their midst. He said, there's only two or three. That'll make the bride. That's it. Then he's here. The angels of God are encamped about those that fear him, that hangs only to his word. No man can respect that word without fearing God. Now we got another promise right here. There's angels all around about us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. How we love him. Just worship him in your heart now. Just adore him. Just think how beautiful he's done. Look what he's done for us. All these years of visions, not one ever failed. Everything he said would come to pass just exactly the way he said it. I love you. Don't forget the commandments of God to you little children. Love one another. Now remember, you can't love and have unity. Now you can have love, yes. To love your sinner, love everybody you can love with that certain love. But there's a certain love that's reserved for the brethren. This shall you, and all men know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. And that's got to come out of the Word that brings you together, because love comes out of that life, and the life comes out of that Word. This church wants to have the love of God and everything in divine order and communication. You have got to be one in this Word. You have got to exalt this Word above everything. And I mean it, brother, sister. We're getting too lax here. You can see the way I preach tonight, and what's being said here, there is a laxity. And every single one of us, from the top down, and I consider myself the top in this respect, I'm up here preaching to you, and I need it worse than anybody. Love one another. Love everybody, right or wrong, saint or sinner. Love them anyhow. If you don't, then pray God to help you, because God loved the sinner. That's exactly true. But how are you going to really love a sinner except that really love is in you? And it's got to have a source. And there's only one source of life, one conduit, that is the Word. And the nature of God is in, it's in the Word, no doubt. If a man's wrong, love him anyway. Don't partake of his sin, see? Don't partake of his sin, but in sweetness, not in sorrow and rebuke. In sweetness, tell him of the hope of life that rests within you through Jesus Christ being revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. Then they sing the song, take the name of Jesus with you. What? The hope of earth and joy of heaven. Everything is manifest in Christ. God, the church, everything else is manifested in Christ. The Bible is Christ. The Bible is written Word, which He is the Word. It's the manifestation of the evidence of life coming in the flesh of the Word to manifest. Isn't that wonderful? Not knowing, of course, now being spiritual, you watch spiritual things, not knowing this, God knows it. But if you turn and look at the clock, it's on the dot of 2 o'clock, the end of the second pull, the third pull is at hand. What in the world is the third pull? Well, I tell you one thing. Whatever it was to Brother Branham, it might not be the same thing to us. But it means everything to us. It means positively the third pull has been going on since that time, which was 1965, I believe. Yes, when this was written, 1965, he preached this. What does the third pull have to do with? The word of God given to a prophet. And the sword struck his hand and he said, the sword of the king. The king, there's only one king and that's God. And his sword is the word. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. The bride is being dressed internally and externally by the word of the living God. This is what has happened, brother, sister. As he said, when you receive the word of God, you become the word of God in your flesh. That's what we're looking at. The third pull is going on now. He said the next pull is at hand. And if it had to do with him, he's had it. If it still continues with him, I don't know. I can't speak what's beyond the grave. I can only know this. He said everything was in those seven seals, the seven thunders, to put us into the rapture. We don't need anything else, brother. If he comes back and does something, praise God. I'd love him to come back and do something. I wish I could hang a, drive a nail in the wall and hang something on it. That's a proof. I don't have it, but I got this proof. What I read tonight and showed you. The vindication of a vindicated prophet. That's where we're identified. That gives us exclusive rights, brother, sister. Franchised, as it were, to us. And nobody else out there in the dark, dark world. We alone have that right. So let us appreciate what we have in these earthen vessels and carry it all the days of our life till he gets us out of here, because believe me, it will. You love the Lord tonight? I hope you do. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to praise and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And above all, Father, for giving us the energy and the ability to finish off these last pages, Lord, of this glorious, glorious message, which we just see such tremendous thing in, that just seals it in more than ever, to know that you did send Elijah to restore, and we believe it has been done, and that absolutely with healing in your wings you've risen to give us immortality, and we shall escape all this wrath and judgment because we are identified, Lord, by you and in you, because we do accept this, Father God. And we know, Lord, we don't accept it enough. It's not real enough yet. But we're keeping on believing, Lord, and keeping on pounding at the door until one day it bursts upon us, because you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Lord, we're just knocking, 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 pounding on that door for it, oh God. The revelation of life pouring out of and into our very beings, transforming by its transfusion. Oh God, yes indeed, Lord, we're banking on it. We're asking, Lord, for it. And you said asking was receiving. Father, we're not only knocking, we're asking in every way, shape, and form. Father, we're just looking to you, and you, by your own word, even went so far as say, if even two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. And you also said, if any two of agree upon anything touching the kingdom, it shall be given unto them. And Lord, here there's more than us tonight. There's more than two. There's all of us agreeing on this. Yet if there's one thing we want the dynamization of the true word of God. And if we should precede that by another prayer, we would say this, Lord, give us the absolute true mechanical revelation of your word. And then pour in the dynamics so by the infusion, we are completely transfigured. Father, that's what we desire. Asking, seeking, knocking. Father, that's it. And God, help us tonight, Lord, to shake ourselves from everything else. Lord, please help us to be shaken from everything else. That we